am Bill Ludwig, pastor of the Western Washington Lutheran Church for the Deaf, and I've served 5 different cities, in Seattle, in Tacoma, Bellevue, and Yakima, the fourth one I'm Bremerton. And the topic for our study today is, what is a disabled person? So would you read the first part, the first paragraph?
What is a disabled person? According to the United Nations 1975 Declaration of the Rights of the Disabled, a disabled person is someone who is unable to ensure by himself or herself, wholly or partially, the necessities of a normal individual and social life as a result of a deficiency, either congenital or not, in his or her physical or mental capabilities.
Continue reading.
Everyone has had experiences of temporary disabilities, examples, illness, injuries, broken bones, sprained ligaments and or muscles, cut and or bruised skin, burns, etc., or spells. There are many types of permanent disabilities: arthritis, blindness, cerebral palsy, deafness, epilepsy, mental retardation, and many more. Mr. Richard Walsh of Bothell, Washington, who is a C3 quadriplegic, claims that the estimated 1 out of every 10 people is physically disabled. The causes vary greatly and include birth defects due to genetic disorders or drugs, accidents, sporting, automobile, industrial, self-inflicted injuries, infectious diseases, use of drugs, or aging. Various disabilities are mentioned in the entire Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. Examples: Leviticus 21, 18 to 20, and Matthew 15.
Okay, you can stop there. Okay. Let us take a look then. At what the Bible has to say about disabled people. You can read all of the 4 verses that are listed in the gospel right now. That's Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And John chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. So there's a couple more Bibles around the fireplace. The first one is Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28.
I
Would you like to read it out loud?
But I can.
Matthew 15, verse 21-28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Would someone then like to read Mark chapter 10, verses 46-52?
Mark chapter 10, verses 46-52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, rise, he is calling you." And throwing off his mantle, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way.
Luke chapter 19, verses 1-10. Anybody else like to volunteer to read that?
He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
And finally, John chapter 5,
verses 5 through 18.
One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going down, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "The man who healed me said to me, 'Take up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your pallet and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, because there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse befall you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews persecuted Jesus, because he did this on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working still, and I am working." This was why the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God.
Okay. The selections here, there are many more examples I could have selected. However, there's a lot of varieties of disabilities, but I decided to limit ourselves to four different selections. Each one is good and is found in the gospel. Now here's a question. Have you found any positives in these readings? The readings of the reports of the people who are disabled? Faith? Well, I'm not just talking about the disabled person. Of course, there's faith involved, but...
Well, this is another characteristic of the disabled, but patience, great patience. There was a long period of time involved for many of those people. Great patience.
Okay. I'm thinking of the normal people in the stories, in these lessons. What about them?
The author of the school, the beggar or whoever it is, and say Jesus should do something to get rid of them.
Right. Are there any other examples of what the normal people are doing?
Ignoring it.
Right. And more?
Murmuring.
Mm-hmm.
One person said that the person that couldn't walk said that people were going in front of him.
Okay, and that's a great example. In the last story, the man was sick and no one would help him. No one. And well, yet.
Also with Zacchaeus, a small man, and nobody seemed to want to help him. He had to help himself to climb up a tree to see.
I think we have places with one of you over here. I can sit right in front. Again, please.
Well, with Zacchaeus, the small man, he had to climb up the tree himself. Nobody helped him to see Jesus.
Right. And it got worse. People said, "That's a sinner! Hey!" The people were only thinking of themselves. They weren't thinking about helping the other people. And that made more ridicule for the disabled person. Society and situations haven't changed much today. Nevertheless, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do in each of these four accounts?
Jesus said, love other people more than yourself.
Love other people more than yourself. Others? About what Jesus said or did?
He stopped to tell people to give him a minute, and then he healed them after he talked with and found the faith in the other people. He acknowledged them as people first.
He did ask the man who was lame by the pool if he wanted to be healed. So it seemed like he also challenged him some.
He did test each one of them a little bit before he, you know, he asked, after waiting 38 years, to ask a man if he wants to be healed. I mean, that is a... That's a little test of his faith, and he tested the woman who and said that my gifts are only for my people. So those were tests that he was, I think.
Yes, and even though Jesus tested the people, it was God who gave him the full help to give, to restore people. It was through his love and his love for us here. I like to remind myself about the last part about God's love, how much God loves us. That we can see in all of what Jesus did, that God is at work. Is there more discussion?
Just that he had compassion, which you find lacking often too.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that bothers me always is the attitude of the people, and that they thought they were being righteous in what they were doing, because disability or blemish was always regarded as the mark of sin of some kind. And so these people had to be great sinners or possessed of the devil or whatever it might be. And so when they did disregard them, they thought they were doing the right thing. And so Jesus' teaching here was a great revolutionary type of thinking, I think, like a revolutionary type of teaching. Because everything they brought to the altar in the Old Testament had to be without blemish. Everything was perfect. And even in no one with a blemish could even enter the temple. That's the thing that's always astounded me.
And the truth is that no one is without blemish. And I think that's part of what the gospel teaches us, is that each of us need the doctor.
Truly. Other comments? Okay. Let us then go on to the next readings in the second paragraph there. Maybe there's a benefit for those who are not, who do not have paper, for somebody to read these paragraphs before we go into the readings.
The Christians are to be aware of disabled people and their needs. The disabled persons are whole persons with handicaps or inconveniences. Much help and understanding are occurring today for their physical needs. They also have spiritual needs. And the first one, you'll find Romans 3, 9 through 20.
What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For I have already changed, I've already charged that all men, both Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by works of the law, since through the law comes knowledge of sin.
Okay, the second one is John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
And the next one, 1 Timothy 1:15.
Saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the foremost of sinners.
Okay, the third one is 1 John 2:2.
Christ himself is the means by which our sins are forgiven, and not our sins only, but also the sins of everyone.
A fourth spiritual need is found in Titus 2:11-14.
For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all people, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions, and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds.
Thank you. The difference between the normal person and the disabled person in God's eyes. Is there a difference?
No, we're all sinners.
God shows his love to every person. Oh. Oh, only to certain people?
God shows his love to everyone.
Okay. And so we know then that God has given all sinners. God gives Jesus to save all the world. And yet, God allows some people to be disabled and other people are not. Does that mean that God loves normal people more than disabled people? No. God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Does anybody here want to add more of their own contemplations and impressions that they get from God's word that you've read this morning?
Job is an example.
Job is an example.
Not much sin in him.
There wasn't much sin in him, and yet he suffered much punishments. And he was still the same as other people. God loved him the same as others. Thank you. Other thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Maybe the insight that disabled people give others keeps everyone more humble.
Mm-hmm. Others?
There is always that eternal question that we will have to wait for an answer. When this happens to some of us, to our loved ones, we ask, why, oh God, why me? Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm. And I really can understand that question because I ask it myself. And yet it's best to remember the lesson, like in chapter 8, that there's no difference between God's love between people. For all Christians, it's the same. Remember what St. Paul ask God again and again to remove his ailment, and yet through patience God chose not to take it away. He had to just accept it, and then he got strength through his experience. Why didn't God remove it?
We all grow, and some of our problems are not visible like others are. Or we have all troubles. Some of them are inside, and some of them are outside. And yet, solving these problems is our way of growing, and in using the Lord and our faith and trust. Growing in spite of it, growing. I think there is a purpose for everything in life. And the Lord does say that out of evil, and I don't mean this thing is evil, but it is a trouble. There will be some good results. That doesn't mean that the thing itself is good, but out of that will come some good. And we don't know who else is being affected by our life, or by our troubles, or by how we respond to those troubles.
It seems dangerous to me to interpret all our disabilities or handicaps of various sorts as a result of God's direct action.
I remember after my father was killed in a plane crash, people saying to me, well, God must have felt it was time. And I felt very angry by those comments. And I guess after working through that, I've decided perhaps God doesn't control awful events. And perhaps it's a result of our gift of freedom. And there's a certain chaos in our world as a result of our free choice and gift of our minds.
That doesn't mean God isn't in control. It means he allows the freedom.
Well, I wonder, there's a certain resistance to the idea that perhaps God is not in control. I mean, there's a fear. Is God really in control of the world right now? With the nuclear arms race? The Holocaust?
I think you have to define control. You know. I mean, does control mean that he's allowing these things to happen or not? I think we all see negative things happen all the time, and we don't want to believe that God certainly somehow makes that happen. So we have to, I think what you said is just right on, in terms of the way I feel too. There's a chaos that's been brought on by his giving us the freedom, our humanity has given us the freedom to do to ourselves what we will, and we've done a lot. And yet to say he doesn't have control, I think that's another thing altogether. He has, but it's not maybe in the way we look at control.
God has all things under his control, and yet he permits bad things to happen. We can't question God's wisdom. And still, it's very important for us never to forget that it is God's love, that God loves all people on earth. Let us go on now to the other paragraph. Did you want to add something?
I think suffering has been going on since the world began, and it's kind of part of God that he's there for all the suffering. Suffering doesn't really mean the end of the world or the end of God. It's just part of everything.
Yes. We need to go on. Let's hold off now. Let's continue reading.
People who are disabled have the same inner needs as all people. The need for such things as forgiveness and hope and love from God and people. Look in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 21.
Would someone like to volunteer for that reading?
In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Okay, let's see, 1 Peter 1:21. through him you believe in God who raised him from death and gave him glory, and so your faith and hope are fixed on God. Then 1 John 4, 11 and 12 and 16.
Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us. Verse 16. And we ourselves know and believe the love which God has for us.
Keep going. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to open again for some more discussion.
Bad things that happen in life, or the things that seem bad at the time, often give us a basis to grow, and we would not be aware or have the capability of being thankful and grateful for those things that we have if we hadn't seen or if we hadn't felt despair and discouragement at some point.
I think in addition to that, then it's important to understand that that doesn't happen just so that we can grow. It's just that in our human condition, things that happen to us because we're in a human condition, then we will grow by, hopefully. You know, God doesn't make bad things happen so you can grow. It's given to us to grow through things that happen to us that we see as being bad.
There's always the question of what is bad, what does not seem good for us to us, often is what we need.
Well, except that
which is why it has to be his will and not ours.
There's no way she's going to ever think her father's death was a good thing. You know, I mean, obviously that was bad in the way you look at it, to her, to lots of folks, I'm sure. But it was for her to grow through that experience, even though would have been better if it hadn't happened. But it was for her assignment, you might say, then, was to grow because that was given to her.
But as human beings, aren't we all given to disability?
And so we're all here to grow.
Would you repeat that again?
But as human beings, I feel we're all headed to disability. It's a natural human aging process. I will be disabled.
Yes, all of us, yes.
I know I will.
And yet,
we dread it.
The goal of God is that we will all be normal in his kingdom of glory, that we have hope. All of us who are disabled, we have hope because of God and his love in Christ Jesus. So I'm not happy to be deaf, truly, to be honest. I hate it. But yet, God uses me and my disability to show his love to each other.
and for us to show each love, his love to each other. And that's why he gave this disability to me, for his glory. Therefore, we're not supposed to, we don't need to say, why me? We say instead, why not me? Have you heard people say that? For years I've heard some deaf people say, why not me? And because they have been growing through their experience of deafness. When I have problems, it helps me to grow and trust the Lord Jesus. That's beautiful. Are there other comments people would like to share? A friend of mine 40 years ago in Missouri said that I was a very good example of how disabled people who could work the same as other people and show love of God in everything, and it really made me feel good to have my friend share that with me.
Some are broken by that experience, though, and I think we need to understand mental illness, addiction, and other problems come from that brokenness.
Well, I think that's where the hope comes in, because before one can grow, one has to have access. I mean, how can the deaf hear without those who teach them the ways to hear and to understand, or the blind to see unless they are taught? So access to the means of grace and access to the printed word and to communication with other people, with their fellow people, these are the things that we have a responsibility to show them and to give them, to allow them to find their fulfillment, and to find their fulfillment, an expression of their faith.
One of the things that occurs to me today as we're reading scripture is that oftentimes people who are ill or disabled are invisible to those who are not.
Yeah.
And that it's helpful to have opportunity to be in a setting where teaching is with hands and expression. However, I think that when we read, my tendency when I read that God is a loving God is to limit the love to people who are like myself. And that it's always good for me to stretch beyond that, to say that God loves the homeless and the alcoholic and the person with AIDS and all who are disenfranchised and all who are not. That our tendency, I think, is to make that my side, your side, or camps, or the rich or the poor, or the healthy or the sick. But that this kind of experience, I think, helps broaden our understanding of that God's capacity to embrace is far beyond our understanding, even.
So I think perhaps within our American culture, we spend too much of our energy attempting to be whole individually instead of collectively. And, that we want to be the perfect ideal human being, when in fact we're unable to be the perfect human being without the whole, not just without the norm. We often, as Mary just shared, try to see the norm as people like us rather than realizing that for Christ the norm is that no one is excluded from our community and concerns. So that together, as sisters and brothers, we make up the whole, not alone, but only totally together.
Any other comments? Okay. Sin prevents us
from perfection here on earth. But we must remember God's work. We are not alone in God's work. God is working through us. And only with God can we be perfect in heaven. Let us continue to read the last paragraph and verses.
Why might persons with handicaps in some ways need some of the aforementioned blessings? Forgiveness, hope, and love, plus patience, more than the normal persons. Colossians 1, 17 and 19 and 20.
Who would like to volunteer to read Colossians?
He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then 19 and 20. For in him all fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Now the question is, who can keep me and all disabled people from the collapse, from brokenness? Who can do that?
Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's really clear then, that Jesus Christ is the answer. That Jesus Christ works in time and through the gospel and is still working today through us here. Not only pastors, but through all of the believers, like ourselves. Who would like to volunteer then to read the next reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12?
Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
What do we need to fight for in life? Evil, regardless of whether it's seen or unseen, is alive in life. And it separates us. It separates us from God. It separates us from God's Son, Jesus. So how do we overcome that evil? What do we do?
I think most people have to fight for their own sense of dignity.
And more discussion. What do you do when I have negative feelings, negative thoughts? What do you do?
Pray.
Mm-hmm. I have a second page, but because of the time that's remaining, it's a little bit close to 10 here. Do we still have 10 minutes, or maybe you can just read it at your own, on your own time? So I'll pass this out and like to close with prayer. And maybe you could, if there aren't enough, maybe you could make a copy of it. It's not that long. Okay. The last little paragraph. We will use this as a prayer also. Would someone like to read that last paragraph?
All Christians, all yes. Christians, both normal and disabled, are to be concerned of the physical and spiritual needs of other persons. Also, both normal and disabled, we are all to minister with them as fellow members of Christ's body and to be ministered on to by them.
So let us close now with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have made us all, regardless of our differences. You have made us all through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you have made us born anew through your Holy Spirit. You have not given us all perfect health, and we pray that you will forgive all of our sins and failures by ignoring when we ignore disabled people. Thank you for your promise that you have forgiven all, and we pray that you will remember us and send your Holy Spirit in love to all who are here, both normal and disabled people. For that we pray this in your holy name, and we give glory also to your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray, Amen.